The following recording has a number of different options available to you. The first is the recording of the current Tafiobi 13th cycle, and it's done rather rapidly, without great detail. That's followed by a very fast review that enables you to go over the daf in about 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by a recording of the Daf Yomi from the previous cycle, done at greater length, more detail, and also with a different ambience, a different audience. You can use one for your original learning and one for your review, but whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Besechet Psachim is Daf Ayin Vav. We're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Daf Ayin Hey, Amud Beit. Now, suppose the Korban Pesach was being broiled on a fire, but that fire was near the edge of a tanur. And we're going to see that actually it's talking about that it was in the tanur is hot, but we don't know that now. And it touches the cheres of the tanur. So then what happens is the part that was in contact with the edge of the oven ends up being cooked by the heat of the fire that was transferred to the oven. And because of that, it's not sliyeh. So you'll have to cut off the outside area of the part that was touching, because that part is usher to eat. Nataf mirotvo alachers. I suppose some of the fat, the boiling fat, the juice of the korban, pops off onto the cheres, and then drips back onto the korban. So then you have to be notel et mikomo, as opposed to kolef et mikomo. Kolef always means a very thin as you can cut. Take a knife, get a very thin piece. If you're doing nitila, however, nitila means you actually have to cut off a finger breadth piece from it. And that's a serious nitila, because over there the rotav drips into it. We're going to see what the problem is. But clearly that part that was not on the korban pesach before, that falls back onto it, was cooked by the heat of the cheres that's outside. Or let's say that you had a dough that was inside, and some of the rotav, some of the juice of the shish kebab, falls into the solet. Now you'd have to therefore put your hand in there and do a kmitza on that place. Obviously you can't just shave it, because it's basically flour, and that is taken by your hand, grab a piece of it, throw it out the area that the juice fell into, again because of the same problem as we're going to see, that it's considered to be cooked by the heat of something else rather than direct fire. Now suppose you were sachob b'shemen shel truma. You wanted to give it a little bit of a nice coating, you know, what do you call it?
Glaze.
A glaze, yeah. So you dip your hands into a little bit of olive oil, you know, and the olive oil was truma. And then you smear your hands all around it. And if the chabura of people that are eating it are kohanim, so then that's not a problem, because they're allowed to eat olive oil of truma. But im shel Yisrael, then it depends. Im chayu, if the meat was still uncooked, so then yedichen. Then what you need to do is you need to wash off the oil, make sure it's all off of it before you put it into the flames. If it's already barbecued, so then you need to do klipa, because that oil is absorbed into a thin layer, and you have to be kolef et achitzon. Socho b'shemer, if you used the shemen of Maaser Sheni, there you've got another interesting issue, because Maaser Sheni, you're not allowed to be poda in Yerushalayim. Correct? Once Maaser Sheni is in Yerushalayim, it's usur to do pidyon. Now, the question over here is that different people that are being mishtatef in the korban are paying for their part of the korban. If they're also going to be paying for the Maaser Sheni, then they're going to end up essentially doing sales on Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim, which is similar to pidyon. Actually, Barash's Gears and many others are in Mokurin, Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim, not in Podin, but straight out. Many learn that this din of in Mokurin is a Gezer Drabonin, as a Gezera, maybe you'll come to Pidyon. Others learn that it actually is a type of Pidyon. And even though the purpose is to eat it in Yerushalayim and so on, it doesn't make any difference, because in the end, you're not supposed to be doing any kind of business with it. So, therefore, make sure that you take out the money for that. In other words, you're not paying for total costs, you're paying for the cost of the animal and ancillary costs, transports, and so on. So everybody takes their portion, but don't put in the money of the shemen. Now, in general, and this is one of the most important sugyas in Ondeya Yisur V'Heter and Shas, and remarkably it comes over here because of the issue of how we view touching something else that's hot. Now, over here, of course, the problem touching something else that has to do with whether the Pesach was cooked by something else or cooked by the flames. But in general, touching something else that's hot, when it gets the basar b'cholov and these kind of things, has to do with absorption from something else. And our Mishnah has raised some of these issues, as we'll see. And in general, we have a very serious machloket about how to look at those kind of mixtures. Because, okay, I know that obviously if I boil two things together and so on, I definitely am getting an absorption throughout the solution that I'm boiling it in. That's not the question. The question is, when things come in contact with each other out of solution, or even if there is maybe a solvent, but one is cold, the one is hot, then how do we determine the extent of the bli'ah? We've seen three levels. We've seen a level that requires klipa, which is the outermost layer. And that was even if it's cold, apparently. We had the oil that we had to, if it was completely cold and it was raw, so it doesn't absorb, so then you don't need anything. So that's hadakha. Post-hadakha, we have three additional layers. So it's a machlokas over here, whether the tzli that we're talking about is cold tzli or whether it's the warm tzli. But in any event, you had that first layer where it's cold and it's still absorptive because it's soft. So there you had the most we had was klipa. Then we had this further problem of netila, where it's something that was rota. We're not sure. Is that hot? Is it cold? What exactly is going on? That's what we're going to talk about. But where something falls, it could be absorbed in the outer layer. That requires more than klipa. That requires netila. And then we have dinim, obviously, where things absorb completely, and that's called usser. So we have hadocha, klipa, netila, and isser, usser kula. And now we have to define how far we go with different temperatures. So, itma. The machloket amuraim is a famous machloket as follows. Cham l'tocha. Something hot, say a hot piece of meat, falls into a pot full of hot milk. Or if you're not talking about basar b'cholov, you can have exactly the same question. Kosher meat falls into non-kosher sauce or something, right? Same issue. Divrei HaKol asur, everybody's moda asur, the whole thing is asur, because since both are hot, therefore we have a complete mixture. How about if both are cold? Everybody's moda, then of course it's mutter. Now, we'll have to wash it off, as we said, yedichenu, but it's all mutter. But how about if hot falls into cold, or cold falls into hot? How do we view the mixture? So Rav says we always look at the uppermost, ilo agavar. And if ilo agavar, it would mean if something hot falls into something cold, then we view it as if both are hot. And they absorb from one another, and they become aser. If something cold falls into something hot, then it is not bolea, and then, depending on circumstances, we might get away with less, just perhaps klipa, or even less, depending on the situation, as we'll see. Shmuel says, on the contrary, we always go according to tata'a. And tata'a gavar, we look at the lower part, and if it's cham l'toch tzonein, then the whole thing cools off because of the tzonein. If it's tzonein l'toch cham, then the whole thing warms up because of the cham. And in general, we would have paskened like Rav, because remember that Shmuel is called King Elazar, if you recall from various sages. And the reason he's called King El Asar is because we don't paskel like him in Isser. El Asar, not an Isser. He's king, but not an Isser. So this is, however, Richie, Erev Rosh Hashanah, a chance to get the whole year back into shape. I give you a beautiful piece of paper that puts the whole year in your hands. I mean, today is the day. There you go. You even got two of them. Wow.
Much for each island.
That should definitely keep you up. So in this case, as we're going to see, because we have some strong rayas to Shmuel, we're going to paskin like the Tanoim, which means that we end up paskining Tata Agava. Now, tonight, the reason we brought this up over here, of course, all along, was to get a better understanding of our Mishnah. Tonight, the Mishnah says that if some of the juice of the shishka, of the, well, that's actually shvarma, drips onto the cheres, and now falls back on some of the meat, okay? The deal is that you have to actually be notelet mikomo, which was more even than kedei klipa. Now, assuming as we did, and we'll see if it was a wrong assumption, but assuming as we did, that when it says it hit the porcelain of the oven, it was talking about a cool oven. So if that's the case, it only would work out according to Rav. Because according to Rav, who says Ila Agavar, he says the thing that falls onto the other thing, that is what defines the temperature. In this case, boiling hot rota, juice, it splashes onto the side of the oven. That juice will now define the oven as being hot, not the oven defining it as being cold, according to Rav. And therefore what happens is that you're going to have to, mishumachi yitolak mikomo, you're going to have to take off the place where it fell back onto the meat. Why? Because since, according to Rav, the rotav is merateach le'lecheres, it just saw Richie falling asleep at every program. So if the rotav warms the porcelain, then that means that the porcelain continues heating the rotav. So in other words, it supports the heat in the rotav now. But that would mean that part of the cooking of the rotav is from the heat that's been absorbed through something other than the direct flames. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it now becomes osur. When the cheres now is merateach le rotav, it heats the rotav, and now the rotav falls back on the carbon pesach, then that, now many svarim do not have these next words because they're very confusing. And Tosis brings that Lamaisa Rabbeinu Hanano has this girsa, but he explains away these words. Now here's what the words say. What happens is that now the meat of the carbon pesach is cooked by the rotav, which has now been cooked by the charis, and therefore the carbon itself is osur. Now, Tosis says that's a little bit crazy, because the rotav is the problem. Why? What do you mean the meat is cooked machmat chamimut adacharis? The meat here is exposed to the fire directly. The real problem is that it's absorbed some of the juices that have now become usr because of the charis. We don't need, even if it were true, we don't need to come on to this piece that the meat becomes cooked by the rotav. The meat has absorbed the rotav. Therefore, Tosfos says that the meaning of this is that the pesach, that is to say, the juices of the pesach, in this case having absorbed some of that juice, so the Pesach is partially a Pesach is machmat davar acher, machmat chamimut adacheres, and the Torah said tzliyeh v'lo tzli machmat davar acher. But according to Shmuel, now Shmuel says, well, basically you go according to what it fell onto. Okay, what did the juice fall onto over here? A cold porcelain. So then it's cold; it never gets heated, according to Shmuel. And if that's the case, if the cheres is sunning, and therefore, on the contrary, not only will it not cook the rotav, it will cool the rotav, a kurim maker of the rotav, and therefore there will be no problem of netilat makom. So amay yitolat makomo, what is the problem, for heaven's sakes? Well, I mean, we're going to see later, we ask our Shmuel from the next piece of the Mishnah about falling onto the dough. And we explain that it's talking about hot dough, solat rotachar. You know, same thing over here, which is the same answer. Just like Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Shmuel explained the Mishnah is referring to hot dough, over here it's referring to a hot oven, of course. And then everything makes perfectly good sense. So, hachinami becheres roteach. And now is the time to talk about the next piece, where we've already looked ahead and we know what's going to come. And that is, the next piece of the Mishnah says, if some of the juice falls into the dough on the bottom, then yikmotzit mikomo. Now, we thought that you had put in a little bit of cool dough underneath, and it was so little, so nene. And once again, we have exactly the same problem. So according to Rav, who holds, it goes according to what fell in, and that's the ilah, so that's hot. Okay, because of that, that is considered to be usr, because the solet has now been heated by the juices of the carbon pesach, continue to heat those juices because it's considered to be hot, and therefore that part of the juice in the solet is now usur to eat, so you have to get rid of it.
And the solet is that, we're talking about dough? Or
we've seen before that it's talking about a solet, even if it's a dough, it's pure rib. It doesn't really stick together.
Okay, and it's
yeah, like a couscous kind of thing.
Okay, but it's still dry. It's not.
Yeah. Okay. So it's merateach la solet, with which case the solet now had argued about her solet mirtechal l'didei. So now the solet turns around and maintaining the heat, it's maintaining the heat that continues to cook it without an esh, and that's usur. Then come out virot of machmat chamimut de solet, and the Torah said sli esh v'lo sli machmat acher, which would explain why I need to stick my hand in, grab a handful of the stuff, and throw it out. But according to Shmuel, who says, well, it goes according to what it fell into, then the solet, I'm assuming the solet is chilled, it's sonenetu, why won't it simply cool the juices that fall in it, and then nothing will be also, just eat the whole thing and enjoy the mixture of the delicious solet with the lamb. So, tastes very good. Lomali yikmotzit bekomo. And here is where Rabbi Yirmiyahu actually quotes Shmuel as saying, the Mishnah is talking about solet rotachat, and this is where we were, obviously, if it's the solet rotachat, it's talking about the tanur rotachat that we had before. Now, the next piece of the Mishnah, which seems also to have bearing on this, is that if you take oil of truma, And then you sort of rub, you have a hand that's wet with a little bit of oil, and you glaze the entire meat. So we say, if it's a chaburat kohanim, yokelo, if it's shel Yisrael. So if the meat is chai, so then you have to, and if it's tzli, you just wash it off, because it hasn't been absorbed. But if it is tzli, then, I'm assuming it's warm, so then you have to cut off bichtei klipa, the outside part. So now, according to Rav, Rav says that in general, only ilo agava. That would explain why it's enough to just take off a thin layer. Because even though ilo agava, I mean, obviously a little bit is absorbed into that outside bit that remains hot for a minute or two. So that part I need to take off with the klipa. Okay. And that would explain that why it's sagi lebitli. But why is it enough just to take off that little piece? Because the ilah is sonen, the oil was sonen. But according to Shmuel, who says it goes according to tata, so then that means that for all intents and purposes, we have boiling hot oil. Why isn't it absorbed throughout? It should be mivla bala, given the chamu. It should be usr entirely. And why is it sufficient? Am I sagi lebitli? Why is it enough to take off a thin layer? What it should be is usr legamri. That's true, but shine sicha is different, because look, how do you do the sicha? You don't have to take an actual kamut of oil. What you do is you put a little oil on your hands, and now you move your hands over the outside of the meat. So basically, what you have is a mashu b'alma. Mashu b'alma can't penetrate the entire thing, and therefore it's mashu b'alma with the avida, and because of that, it doesn't aser, even if it is hot. Now, by the way, there's a big machloket poskim between the Bach and the Taz about how to understand the sugya. But the Bach understands the kipshuta. Wherever you have a tiny little bit of something, it will never answer. This is the simple meaning. The Taz learns that since vis-a-vis the carbon, it's mashubama, it's certainly going to be batal in all of that meat. It's not because you have to still look at the shear. If it's batal, it's batal. It's not. Okay, tanik about the dishma. Now, it happens to be that we do have rias from Breitot, like Shmuel, and of course in the end this is why we paskin like Shmuel, and that is that Tata Agavar, and he says Chama to Chamasur. Alright, that's clear, everybody agrees to that, says the Baraita. So if something hot falls into something hot, hot milk into meat, vice versa, it's all us. V'chein tzonein shenatana to Chamasur. Oops. So here it's saying if something cold, if cold milk that falls on a hot piece of meat, the whole thing is going to be awesome. Obviously that's because the lower piece it's falling into is the thing that is Chama. And there it's also. But if something hot falls into something tzonein, or obviously if tzonein falls into tzonein, all you need to do is wash it off. That part I don't understand. What do you mean just wash it off? I mean, what is Shmuel saying? Magically, the moment something hot comes into contact with something cold, boom, instantaneous chill. That's ridiculous. I mean, everybody understands it's going to take time until it chills. During that time in which it's getting cold because of the tato, which is cold, I mean, surely the hot layer has absorbed for that first minute. I mean, maybe not long enough for the entire piece, but I mean, what do you mean wash it off? How are you going to wash off what was absorbed into the outer layer of the meat or whatever it is that we're talking about over here? So how can he say that if something hot falls into something cold, which would include even, let's say, a hot piece of meat falls into a cold container of milk? How can you just wash it off? It is hot. I mean, we're agreed it's hot at the instant that it fell in. You're telling me that according to Shmuel, it gets cold. I mean, but that does take some time, does it not? I mean, so Adamekarle, as it's cooling, it's obviously going to be absorbing, at least in the outer layer, up to the point where it gets cold. So if Shardalobala Purta, it's got to absorb something. I mean, at the very least, we can't be sufficiently satisfied with just washing it off. We should at least require level 2, which is Klipa. You're going to tell me, well, but it gets cold fast enough, you don't need Natila. Okay, but at least Klipa. So I understand. It doesn't get us there completely. It doesn't require Natila, but Klipa, Niaboy, you're right. That has to be really adjusted in the Braita. We say chamatok sonein, it's kolef, not that it's mutter. We're saying mutter mediach. When we said mediach, we're going on the whole thing, which included sonein, the tok sonein. In reality, you were meant to understand that only the last piece is mediach, sonein, the tok sonein, and that by extension, the part that was sonein would have been enough mediach, which means in this part, you'd have to be kolef because it was chamatok sonein. Now there's another Braita that says like this, Tanya Idah. Basar roter, you're boiling hot meat, it falls into boiling hot milk. Obviously, the whole thing's us, everybody agrees to that. Even so, name that falls into hot is osar. Whoops, there we go again. That's tator gava. The whole thing becomes, whenever you say osar, it means the whole thing is osar. Otherwise, we have to say, what do you need? You need klipa, you need tila. Osar means osar kula. Cham latok tzonein, or tzonein latok tzonein, metiyak. Which is again another brighter that's essentially saying, tata agava, and here too we have the same problem. Whoa. What do you mean, metiyak? How could cham latok tzonein just be metiyak? If it's chamu, so then it takes a little bit of time to chill and not to make a layef shalabola purta, does it not require at least klipami anybody? You are absolutely right. We should have put in two separate stages. Cham latok tzonein, of course, kolev. It was the next part of the tzonein latok tzonein that we were referring to. Not always. Because as Rav Huna explained, the only time that we only look at temperature is where we do not have other issues. Now, how about if you have salt? Now, we know perfectly well that salt has a tremendous impact on the absorption. Forget about it, temperature is not the only question over here. I mean, there's also chemical exchanges that's caused by osmosis and by different osmotic pressures. If you put in, you have meat that is maluach, then that is the equivalent of having hot meat. So you eat, that's got to be taken into consideration. So this is dafka. When do we say this thing? Okay, just wash it off. Just wash it off as if it hadn't been salted. But if it's been salted, then it would be osir as if it was actually cooked. The Yomar Shmuel Meliach Ariel Kiroteach. If you have this thing that was salted, then it's like dry meat, which is boiling hot. We said in the Mishnah that was the case where you'd have to be either kolef or was notef, would have to be yitolet mekomo, and that is the equivalent of yitol because it's sleet. Yikuroteach means it's the equivalent of it's sleet, a hot piece of meat, not boiling. But if it's kavush, if you have things that were lying together, let's say in vinegar, and lying together as long as it would have taken to cook them. So then they're pickled. Or, as the Rush says, or even if they were sitting together in water for 24 hours. That's enough of a mixture. That's the equivalent of in the solution as if it was a hot solution. It would become a, the whole thing would become a. So don't restrict yourself merely to questions of temperature. There are other modalities of mixing. And therefore, you need to take that consideration too. Well, my Rava, by the way, even that is not all that simple, because when Shmuel said that if something is salted, it will exchange fluids in the same way as something is roteach, that depends on how salty it is. It's that's only if you don't eat it that way, without washing it off first. It's got enough melach to make a very serious difference between the two pieces. But if it's nechal machmat milchol, if it's just salt that basically gives it flavor, that's not enough to make that kind of difference and make it into the equivalent of roteach. Now, it was a case where a bar guzla, there was a bird that had been shechted and was being prepared for barbecuing, and it falls into a kata de kimcha. Now, the kimcha, of course, the kuta, which is the kuta, was made out of some cheese and whey, and that's not a very good way to get your bird prepared for barbecuing. So, the question was, would you be allowed to eat this bird? And the Shaila came before Rabbeinu Abrei the Rav and Bipashrun, yeah? And he said, yeah, it's fine. Well, what's the problem? And despite the fact that it had been salted and everything. Said Rava, indeed, a man of true scholarship. Man chacham lemisha milta kiha. Now, who would be smart enough to know what I said? Who would be matir something like this? If not, the Gavra Rabbi was a great man, and he will tell you what I just mentioned earlier, and he will tell you that he, when he's salted, considered to be roteach. But if it's nechal machmat milcho, then it's okay. But, by the way, we need to add another couple of caveats to this whole issue over here. Namely, we're talking about a raw situation. The meat is raw. If it was softened through tzliya, then it does not suffice to simply wash it off with water, because since the meat is soft, it's soft. And basically, when you're tzola something, there's a lot of absorption in the outer layer, then even if we're talking about tzonin, it would require klipa. Not only that, and here's a big machlokas, how to learn if it's the let people is referring even to raw meat, to many are machmeron. Okay, lemaisis is obviously one of these Sephardic Ashkenazic issues where the Ashkenazim are very machmer and so on. But in any event, this is dafka the let bake peel. This is only if it doesn't have areas in which there are openings into the meat where it's been cut or for whatever reason it's been pulled apart, which has allowed the isser to get into it. But if it's eat bake peel, it would be usser. And furthermore, even, once again, machlokas, sli or raw, if it's metubal betavli, if it had been already prepared by, what do they call that when you soak it in the
marinade?
If you had marinated it, that also makes it absorb. And because of that, it would have been also. Now, the gozal in this case was all right. That's why Pchinina was matirit, but there might be cases it would have been also. So, Sli or Pile or Metubo would have also. Oh, my God. There's another question. The other question is, we've been discussing direct transfer of taste through touching. We've been discussing transfer through a medium, or boiling it in water, or in chometz, isha, or what about the famous issue of vapor? You cook two things in the same oven at the same time. Now, here you've got a vapor problem. And here, you also need to get into the question of whether one piece can affect the other piece in by differences in, again, osmotic pressure. This case, get the gas that is going to be containing the oils from one. It's got all type of volatile things in it. Is there a difference if the two pieces are of different layers of Schumann, so that one of them is more likely to absorb because it doesn't have much Schumann of its own? And again, that's always defines osmotic pressure. I would say we're generally, we tend, because of the obvious elements of absorption, we tend to equal out inside out. So if something is kachush, it's going to absorb vapor. If something is shamun, and if it's shamun, so then it now has in it some of that shamun. So this is what we got to deal with, because the question is whether it'll go back and forth like tatogov or nilogov kind of things. So this is exactly what we deal with now. So Rav says, look, if you've got kosher meat and it is being broiled in the same oven together with non-kosher meat, the basar nevela, and the basar nevela is lean. So what ought to happen over here is that the lean will absorb the oily vapor, but it's not going to give over a vapor of its own to aser the kosher meat, and there, because the kosher meat is the one that's giving off the vapor. So it ought to be okay. However, I tell you, it is not okay. Why? Because basically, they end up exchanging vapors. Because when the basar kachush absorbs the vapor, it also starts exuding its own mixed vapor of nevela and kosher, because it's now become the futam through the vapor it absorbed, and therefore they're both going to be osur. Levi says, on the contrary, even if the basar shruta is very lean, and the basar nevela is very fatty, and therefore it's absorbing all the way to the marketplace, and it's all full of the delicious smells of the piece of chazer meat that it's been cooked with, and makes no difference. My taima, smell is not considered to be a actuality when it comes to Isser Veheter, and therefore we couldn't care less. My time of Reichel Amu and Reichel of Miltau, we don't care about smells. And Ovid Levi Uftabe Reish Galuta, Levi had a disaster. He had to pass to the Reish Galuta. They discovered that the happy Avodim of the Reish Galuta, which were, oh my God, the kashrus problems that they caused in the kitchen over there, it's almost as bad as a regular yeshiva kitchen with the Arabs and so on. No Ashgacha, disaster, always stray for food. So in the Reish Galuta, they used to have that too, where they found a nice piece of bacon, which the Avodim had put in, you know, put it into the microwave while they kept cooking for the Reish Galuta. Hey, I got a sandwich, cook it up too. So they had basically a bacon sandwich cooking together with the lamb chops for the Reish Galuta. So he had a gedi and a dover acher. And Levi said, it's fine, it's got a nice bacony smell to it, but it's not a problem. Yeah, because Reichelav, Miltahin, it's okay. Now, the problem, once again, about this comes from the Korban Pesach issues. And even though we haven't reached this yet, but Lamaisa, fascinatingly, you're not allowed to have two people's Korban Pesach in the same oven separately broiling at the same time. Why? I mean, I would assume that the problem is, since you are not allowed to eat a Korban Pesach with somebody else, that you're not monuyon, right? So now the Korbanot are going to exchange vapors. To exchange vapors, both of them become usher to the people of a Chabura that were not on them. So now they're no longer pure your Pesach, which implies that vapor is very important indeed. So it says, because it's going to be mixture. I mean, what kind of mixture? I'm assuming a mixture of the tastes, which makes each one usher on the people who are not registered for it. So that it's got taste of a Korban Pesach that they're not on. So my lav tarovet tamin, which proves that Levi, who says, well, we don't care about smell, that's not considered to be really taste. Kasha Lelevi. Seems to be saying exactly what Rav says. No, so, is that what it means? It means if you've got two separate karbanot in the same oven, Chabura A may get mixed up and think that theirs is the one on the left, when really theirs was the one on the right, and vice versa, and they'll end up exchanging the actual meat of the karban. It's nothing to do with the taste. It's metarovet gufin. For heaven's sakes, you didn't even read to the end, which is the only reason you asked me the question. If you would have read to the end, you would have seen that that's obviously the issue. Because look, how can I mean mistavra? The end goes like this. Even if there are different types of karbanos, one is goat meat and one is lamb. Oh, who the heck cares if we're talking about tam? What kind of meat it is if the problem is tarovet tam? Obviously, it's because we're thinking, since the only problem is you'll exchange the carbon. So, if it's a different type of animal, you'll notice. Then they say, no, even if it's a different kind of animal, you won't notice, okay? So then that makes sense. See, I'm a bishlov, you're going to tell me that the whole issue over here is big, big goofy. It's because I'm going to get mixed up with the meat. That would explain why it's important for us to know, I feel like a div, it's leh. But if you're telling me that the problem is the taste, what's the difference? Malik div, it's leh, malik div, it's all going to be giving tamim. Wait, oh, hold on a minute. You know, that's a very good point. So then, what is it telling us? So then what it's saying is that the whole problem is the question of the exchange of the meat, which says that there is no problem of the exchange, of the smell. So it's goof a riot to leave. And this is a kasha on Rav, because according to Rav, it's a little bit silly to talk about what kind of meat it is, if anyway there would be a problem of the taste, no matter what is the situation about the exchange of the meat. So this really seems to disprove Rav. Wow. So in other words, you're saying the only problem is tarovet gufa mudias. But had it been tarovet tamim, obviously it would be mutter. In which case, it's a tiyuf to the Rav. Rabbi Yirmiya, well, no, not necessarily. I mean, it might be. The way Rav could understand it is that it's talking about that the two karbanot were in two pots, two separate pots, and therefore there's no mixture of the taste. Pots? What pots? What are you talking about? How can you put a carbon pesach in a pot? It had to be tliyesh. You gotta be kidding. Mistake, they wrote sakadat. Come on, what are you trying to say? Come on, yeah, use your brains. I mean, the equivalent of shteik they wrote. In other words, you're talking about over here where you have a tanur. Big tanur. Now, what you do is you pile up, the middle of the tanur is filled with wood that's burning, okay? There's two separate sections in this tanur. There's no way for taste to get from one to the other. Any vapor is going to be burnt up by the fire in between. There's no mixture of vapor. Comes along out to tell me that nonetheless, there's a problem of exchange of meat. Therefore, I have to know, even according to Rav, is that true? Even if it's different types of meat, one is gedi and one is tzoyah, yeah, even if it's gedi and tzoyah, this doesn't make sense to you. They're perfectly said. So therefore, basically, hokikama, angelim shnei psachim kechav, this is the way Rav would put it. You can't, under any circumstances, now the obvious circumstance of the tarovet is tarovet tamim. However, even if there was no tarovet tamim, namely, afilu kein shtei kederot, where you separated the parts in the tanur with a mechitza of fire, where there's no tarovet tamim, it's still aser mishum tarovet gufim. And in that case, it would be aser afilu k'divet tle. Makes perfectly good sense, even according to Rav. So it's not a kasha on anybody, because it's just simply a question of how it is that you would learn the Mishnah. Rav Mori, you know, this whole issue about whether the smell is considered to be absorption is actually, I believe, a machloket tanoim. Because take a look at the Mishnah. But here it's a Mishnah in Truma, because we'll see it's going to get Truma. But the idea is the same thing. Somebody takes a hot piece of bread, a pizza basically he's referring to, out of the oven, sets it down on top of a barrel of wine that contains Truma. Now he's in big trouble. There's this road at Pat Chama. He puts it on top of a Chavis Yayin Shatruma. Rabbi Meir says it's Usr. I said it's Usr. Why? Because it's going to absorb the wine of Truma. So obviously that Shita holds that it indeed is considered to be a real Recha Miltei. If Recha Miltei, then there's nothing that can be done. It's full of Truma. But Rabbi Yehuda is Matir. Now, if Rabbi Yehuda is Matir, it's obvious that he's Matir because he holds. Who cares? There's the Machlokas right there. Now, Rabbi Yossi says it depends. If it's bread that is made out of Chitim, so as we've seen before, Chitim doesn't absorb very much. It's tough. So Chitim, Mutter. Sorim, also. Why? Because Sorim are Shoavot. They absorb. Now, Rashi learns this means that a little bit of Rabbi Yossi, he definitely is agreeing that Recha Milti. Other Rishonim argue. They say, no, when he says shoavot, he means that it absorbs actual vapor, meaning not recha, but real bits of wine, moisture from the wine. Okay, this runs into a lot of problems we're going to see in Tanurim in general. Is there a difference between smell or the actual absorption of liquid that steams as opposed to just gas pressure? And that is a machlokas. So, my love, Tanoim, so apparently we have a machloket Tanaim, Mar Tzavar Recha Lav Nilta, Mar Tzavar Recha Miltahi, and clearly this is a machloket between Rav and Levi, and there's nothing to do. Now, look, according to Levi, it's definitely got to be a machloket Tanaim, because, I mean, it makes no sense at all to say that it's Osir, unless you hold Recha Milta. Would Rav have to also agree that there's a Tana who holds Recha Lav Milta? Says Rav, of course not. Everybody agrees Recha's Milta in my case. Well, you put two different things in an oven and you're broiling them together. Of course Recha's Milta. You don't think there's a difference between a closed barrel of wine and an open oven? What's the comparison? I wouldn't have said that the Recha is going to come through the cover of the wine and that's also considered to be Recha. I mean, that's not real Recha. It contains, I mean, what is there? You know, I mean, you have a good nozzle, you can sniff around the wine, there's a little bit. There's a few molecules that will escape here and there. But that's not what I'm talking about. Everybody agrees, my case, Recha Miltahi. Because remember, you know what? There's a discussion about that Mishnah goes like this. Lav Itmar Aladei. Remember they were talking to Beis HaMedrash. Omar Rabba Bar Bachanam Rish Lakish. Guys, think about the case. If you're talking about where the pita is boiling hot, it's just coming out of the tanur, you're putting it down on an open barrel of wine, you think somebody would say that's mutter. Everybody holds that that's awesome. Like me. If you have cool bread and you have a closed bottle of wine, nobody holds that that is awesome. Where would the smell come from? Where would the absorption come from? Tevayako mutar. The nachloket over here is the extent of Recha Milta, not whether Recha Milta. No, nachgala bepat chamav. So either in a case where the bread may be boiling hot, but the oven, the barrel is sealed, or patsonenet v'chavit petucha, or vice versa, where the wine barrel is open, you put a piece of bread on top of open wine barrel. So then we have a machlokes whether tsonenet is going to absorb. But the case that I'm giving you, I'm talking about a case where you have boiling hot meat that is in an oven, together with other boiling hot meat, sharing the same oven. That is the equivalent of pat chama and chavit petucha. And therefore, on the contrary, if anything, this is completely like my shita, that Recha is Milta. And in fact, there's a braita that was brought of Kanabrid, that if you cook bread, pot, in an oven, together with open meat that is being broiled in this oven, you're never allowed to eat that bread together with cheese bread. Because that bread is considered to be bisari bread, because it has the reah of the tzli in it. So asur la ochla bekutcha. And in a case where it was fish, you had fish inside of a tanur that you were had an open piece of meat in. Also, Rava Miparzikya says, you're not allowed to eat that with any cheese spread. Mar Bar Avash says, you can't eat that at all. Even just salted with its, it just eat it on its own, it's also. Because as you know, fish and meat is unhealthy. It's kashal rechav l'davar acher. It gives you body odor. And what's worse, it makes you vulnerable to leprosy. I'm sure you don't want to get that. Don't eat it at all. I mean, not mitam yisr, but mitam sakana. Okay, so what do we see from here? That in a case where Rav was talking about, where it's in an open oven, and you have vapor exchange, then indeed it would be usher. Now, just in terms of how halacha lemaisa, as all of the in other places, it becomes clear that this is only Rav is only talking about a case where the oven is sealed, so there's no way for the vapor to escape. Because of that, instead of going out of vent, it just sits there, and because of that, it mixes, and it's also small, so that it only holds these two pieces near each other. It doesn't have room for 12 esronot and so on, which is a lot of, like our ovens. But in a case where an oven is large and has a vent in it, there's no problem. Certainly, b'di'avad, there's no problem. The Rama brings the minigus to be not to do it at one time, but if you've cooked in an oven, supposedly, I mean, nowadays they have this whole business. I don't know. I didn't grow up that way. My grandfather, my parents, my schwager, never heard of this thing. You're supposed to have two ovens, one for milk and one for flations. We had no idea where it comes from, but because the ovens are vented, obviously, and they're large. So large vented ovens are only usher at the same time, even if you would do it at the same time, it would be bidyavad mutar.
I don't know if it applies still, but there was a time when one brought a lift from Chutz La'aretz.
No, you could bring two ovens.
But only if you didn't bring a television.
Yes.
But if you
had
a television, right. No way are you
I remember
that you needed two ovens.
That was amazing, yeah. Mm-hmm. They knew this in Mecca. If you've got a TV, you don't need two ovens.
When was Chodesh, they couldn't tell you. But that they can tell you about the other.
By the way, they can tell you.
What, when was Chodesh?
Yes. Oh. I've had it actually happen.
Really?
I've had it actually happen in the security check in the middle of nowhere, somewhere in Europe. So the guy, the woman who's asking me the questions, and when is Rosh Chodesh? If I had given the wrong Rosh Chodesh, it would have been a disaster. I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, I very often don't know when Rosh Chodesh is. Can you imagine? A security question. Brilliant. And Al-Qaeda kills you on the spot if you can't answer certain Quran questions. Yeah. So it's like, you pass by their security checkpoints. If you're a Sunni, you're not going to know this answer because you have a different gear set. They shoot you dead. That's it. On the spot. You don't have to. Amazing.
Did you civilize airports?
No, not civilized airports. There's nothing civilized in Arab countries.
Our dear President, we are waiting anxiously.
Dr. Haley Commissioner.
Look, we talked about the carbon passengers, but Tuma, we said, I'm doing this because I think it'll. I would have stopped at the Commissioner, but I think because we have. Rosh Hashanah, we should go on. It's up to you guys. We're learning between Minchah and Maariv. Minchah is at 5:30. What did I say?
Six.
Okay.
What's six? Minchah is learning.
Minchah is at six, followed by the Daf Yomi. So
on both days.
Yeah. So I thought maybe we should go a little bit further because it's a big Daf. So is that okay? Everybody has the time to spend doing post Mishnah? Yeah.
Well, it says for Friday.
Yeah.
We might want to start a little bit earlier. And make sure that we get a little bit. There was a couple of years ago where we thought we'd be touching it for when Shabbat came
in. Because we're doing our own this time because of that problem.
But we didn't have a minion. We didn't have a minion the previous time.
This time we'll have a minion because you're coming. So we'll have to go
there too. That's how I know we didn't have a minion.
Ah, well, but now you're so much more than you were before. You're the equivalent of four people. Then you won't be the equivalent of two.
How'd you do that?
No, I lost
it. That's amazing.
I put on weight when we went to America, but I lost it now.
All right, so let's do the Halakha Mishnah then here. Chamishat varim ba'im betumah ve'inan echalim betumah. So there's five things that, even though they're seabor issues, and we would bring them betumah, it was only the Korban Pesach where we said, if the Torah is matir, the Korban Pesach, then it had to be matir ba'achila, because the Korban Pesach without boiling the achila is not a Korban Pesach at all. But other things, the essential bringing of the thing has nothing to do with eating it. It's that the Kohanim are eating the leftovers of what was mutter. And there, where do we ever see the Torah was matir achila betumah? It's only and those are five things. Five things that are ba'im betumah but not eaten betumah. And they are as follows. The omer. So the korban omer is brought, and it's matir chadash, and so on. That's a mitzvah on its own. Normally, the kohanim would eat the remainder of the korban omer after the kmitzah. The shtei halecha, we're over there, the kohanim would eat the whole thing, because the shtei halecha, of course, are not themselves brought on the mizbeah. It's the keves, the kifse atzeret, that is matir the shtei halecha. So the shtei halecha is not eaten betumah, even though it's brought betumah. The lechem hapanim, where there, it's also, we do kmitzah, but the kmitzah is the shtei b'zichei levona. So over there, the lechem is an eaten if it's tamei, but the bezichei levona are brought because the korban is a korban tzibur that's brought on Shabbos. Zivchei shamei tzibur, which are the kifsei atzeret that are brought together with the shtei alechem, and the seirim of Rosh Chodesh. Those are the five things we don't eat. The korban pesach, which is brought betuma, is also eaten betuma. So pesach abba betuma, meach al betuma. The family that brings it together eats it together. Shalobami kilato elalachila. The whole point of a korban pesach is only kosher where it's being brought lachila. So when you say five, I can count. I mean, if you're telling me five, you're trying to tell me five and not something else that I would otherwise have thought to include. So you're coming to be Mamayat something. What are you coming to be Mamayat? Lemute Mai. That's Lemute Chagigat Chamisha. So look, Yontif. Okay, what's the din? Everybody's bringing their carbon out. Sorry. We have the carbon Re'iyah, and we have the carbon Chagiga, and everybody is together. So in a sense, that is as much a carbon Tzibur as the carbon Pesach, correct? So now, I would have thought, Sogdat Rimei Kim, the carbon Tzibur, because we're all bringing it together, and it has a Mo'ed. This is the time that you bring it. So Memela, it should be Titchei L'Tumah. You don't have to bring it today. Kivan de eat letashlomim kol shiva. You can bring it at any time during Yom Tov. As if you brought the first day of Yom Tov, and therefore lo dafke Shabbat. It's not going to be doke Shabbat because there's no bemoado. If it's not doke Shabbat, it's not doke tuma either. Why does it only say Si'irei Roshei Chadashim? Why does it not say the Si'irei Regalim? The Si'irei Regalim exactly the same. We're bringing them as additional korbanot musafim. They're brought by the tzibur. There's no chiyuv of eating them in order to be matir them. So it should have said Si'irei Roshei Chadashim, Si'irei Regalim. Well, come on. It doesn't have to list everything. Didn't it already say Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur? Well, if it already said Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, why did you mention Si'irei Roshei Chadashim? So, I mean, make up your mind. Either don't mention any other animals other than the Givsei Atzeret. I have enough brains to figure out that animals are brought but not eaten. Or mention all of them. But you can't mention Givsei Atzeret and then mention only Si'irei Rosh Chodesh and not Si'irei Golem. I don't understand. So the Si'irei Rosh Chodesh and Nami Lod Nitne. You say the same logic. Atana Zivkei Shamei Tzibor, which should include, certainly, the I mean, those are Shlomim. Koshek came to Si'irei that are coming for Chatas. No. Because, you see, if I hadn't said Si'irei Roshei Chadashim, I would have thought that maybe you don't bring them at all. Not just that they're not eaten. Maybe they're not brought on Shabbos. Because Si'irei Roshei Chadashim or Betuma. Or Istrichale. Because Sa'ak Ataitakamina lo ktibu bo'ed. Where does it say mo'ed when it comes to Rosh Chodesh? Let's say mo'ed. Moed, it says in all of Elam Moadei Hashem. Does it mention Rosh Chodesh and Elam Moadei Hashem? No. So where does it say Moed? Kambash Valan that no, it is called Moed. Like Abaye pointed out. Because Abaye says, you know, Tammuz, of that year in the Midbar, of the year of the disaster of the Meraglim, was a full month. And therefore, it was on the night of Tisha B'Av, and not on the night of Asiri B'Av, that the report came back and ended up defining Tisha B'Av as the day of national disaster, because Tammuz, the high shata b'lui maliyah, dechtiv kara alai mo'ed, that there was a kriya of Rosh Chodesh on the second day, which was the mo'ed, lishbor b'achurai, which ended up destroying my children, the dorots. So you see that even Rosh Chodesh is called mo'ed. Which is how we passed it. Which works out only according to Rav, because Bishlamin Rav Yomri Logavar Mshuach Yitolet Mikomot. The other Rota, Meretekla the Cheres. Now the Cheres is not a Meretekla the Rota. Then when the Rota falls back at the Korban Pesach, this part doesn't really mean, according to most, Kamatvi Pesach Mashbar Machman, Kamimuta de Cheres, which here is still a reference to same Rota. For Achman Omet Sliyesh, let's leave Achman Tavar Cher. But according to Shmuel, the Omet Atar Gavar, if the Cheres is Tsonain, if anything, it'll be a Kuramakar Lelo Rota. So what's wrong? It wasn't cooked by anything. Am I told it Mikamu? Can I reveal me on my Shmuel with Solot Rotachat? Achinani Shmuel would have said, the Cheres Roteach. Tanan. Nataf Mirotvala Solot Yikmot in In which case, and then it becomes aser. But according to Shmuel, if the solet is sonenet, so then if anything, you could come back a little. The answer is Midbar Keshet Me'ilam, B'Solet Rotachat. Mishum dilat sonenu, but according to Shmuel, it's tator gavar. So then it's chum. It should be bolay and the whole thing. Am I sagle beklipa? The whole thing should be aser. True, but shiny sicha that it's only a mashu b'amud yavid. Tanigavati de Shmuel cham la tocham asur tzonen la tocham asur cham la tocham tzonen v'tzonen tocham tzonen mediach cham la tocham tzonen mediach. I mean, what about the problem of giving the chametz maker? It's yev shalbola purta. It doesn't instantaneously get cold, does it? So why don't you need klipa miyani boy? True. Okay. So ima chametz tochtanim kolayv, shalina tochtanim idiyah. Another bright, basically the same thing. Says basar roteach shalavalatoch halav roteach, or tzonein shalavalatoch cham is also chametz tochtanim, shalina tochtanim idiyah, chametz tochtanim idiyah. What about the problem of kibbutz chametz maker layev shelo balapurta? At least klipa miyani boy. True. And a chametz tochtanim kolayv, shalina tochtanim idiyah. Omar. Wait a minute. That's only if it's not salty. And kavush in chometz for 24 hours in water. It's only if it's lo ne'echal machmat milcha. But it was ne'echal machmat milcha. Ahuba guzim avol karakam chashay rofin abrei rova pirpa shurnia. Omar Rava, ban chokem misha milta kari. He loved rofin abrei rova pirpa shurnia to gaver rabu. He'll tell you. But in this case, the gozal is neachal machmat milchol. Vani milchai avot sliboy klipa vlamedalet lepile ite pile becomes completely aser and imetuba tavle is aser. Amara. Baser shkuta shamei shetzalawim baser nevela kafush asur maitaima mifat mei mehadadi v'leivi yama afilo baser shkuta kafush shetzalawim baser nevela shamei mutar maitaima reicha be'almo v'reicha lav miltehen ovid levi uvda beresh galuta begediva dover acher meitve ein tzolin shnei psachim kechat mnei atarovet. And what do you think that means? Doesn't it mean tarovet amim, in which case kasher levi holds reicha lav miltehen? No. It's a difference if it's Gdivet Tle, unless, of course, Yamir Bishlam Bnei Gufim. So then I think if it's a Gdivet Tle, you won't get mixed up. But Yamir Bnei Tarovet Tamim, who the heck cares what it's made out of? Gdivet Tle, Malik Gdivet Gdivet. Hey, wait a minute. So then what? So it's only with Bnei Tarovet Gufim Udiyasa. But Tarovet Tamim Mitchari, because otherwise it is a little absurd to talk about what type of meat it is. So then, Lema David Yuvtid Rab. Omre B'Yirmiya, well, look at this, Kinan, that you cook the two psachim in two separate pots. What? Steak they wrote, talk about that. I mean, Ke'en Steak they wrote. Welcome. Ein Tzolin Shnei Psachim Ke'echad, even without the question of goofing, because of Tarovet Amim. But if Filu came shtake, they wrote, where there's no problem of Tarovet Amim, it would still be a problem, because of Tarovet Gufim, even if it was a Gedivit Lev. Omre Mori, I think it's Machlok Tanoi. Harodeh Pat Chama, when the Tanah Gabi Chavit Yayin Shal Truma, Rabbi Meir Oseh, Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yossi, says it depends on what type of bread it is. He's Matir B'Shal Chitim, and he's also B'Shal Sorim, because Sorim have a tendency to absorb. Now, Mar Lav Tanoi, Mar Savarecha Lav Miltai, Umar Savarecha Miltai, and therefore it's Oseh, and that's Rabbi Meir. So Lil Levi is Vale Tanoi. I mean, somebody's saying it's also. What is there to answer? But according to Rab, name it Tanoi. Amalach Rab, no. What for? You could say Kulei Alma Reches Milti. Because remember, Lavit Ma'alada Yom Rabba Barbachanam Reshlokish Bepat Chama Vechavit Ptucha Divrei Akol Asur Bepat Sonenet Vechavit Mengufa Divrei Akol Mutar Lo Nerchol Bepat Chama Vechavit Chatuma Or Bepat Sonenet Vechavit Ptucha. Fine, but I'm not talking about those cases. I said a case we put it into an oven. For heaven's sakes, that's like pat kamana chavit petucha damya. Tani Rav Kahana, brother of Chinan Saba, pat shehafaim sliba tanur, also lochlo pekutcha. Ahi benita de atve badi bisra, also roven mi parziki alamit le pekutcha. Mar Baravashi, forget about the kutcha. You can't even eat it alone. I feel a bit milchy now, me asur, mishm, the cash will rech will adover acher. Chamisha, dvorim boim betuma, vein and echal in betuma. Ha omer shte alechem, lechem aponim, zivchisham et zibur, sirer shechadosh. Whereas the Pesach shabba betuma is nechal betuma. Shloba mitchilato, el ala achila. So when you say chamisha, as opposed to what? I mean, what did you have in mind? The mute mai. The mute chagigat chamisha, so b'ksak, tak, tamina, kibit, kom, et zibur, b'gvila, it's not Tocha Shabbos. If it's not Tocha Shabbos, it's not going to be Tocha Tumah. By the way, why did you not mention the Sirei Regalim? Ah, I already said Zifrei Shalmei Tzibur. So then why did you mention Sirei Sheikh Adash? Because you said Zifrei Shalmei Tzibur. Well, Sirei Rosh HaKadosh was a big Kiddush. It's a Chesakadach. I mean, look, Tibu B'Moed. Moed is the Moker of the Heter, as we're going to talk about tomorrow. Kamashlon, that Rosh Chodesh is also Ikri Moed. Kedabaye, Yom Rabaye, Tammuz, Vayishata of the Meraglim, Malyua Malyue, Tehtiv Karal, I Moed, Lishbor Bachurai.
Hot bowl of milk, or you have a piece of nevela that falls into juice of kosher meat. Right? Everybody is known that. And in that case, the heter will absorb from the yes, because both are hot.
Does that actually have to be an official marriage, or is that just a bias? Would that be a marriage?
Yeah, sure. I'm talking about yeah, so that is one.
Something solid into something liquid.
Even, yeah. I mean, it depends on the cases. If it's oily, it's even if it's something solid, not something solid. We'll see. More will develop within you. So, name it to something cold into something cold, the real komut. Question is, chal tov tzonein v'tzonein tov chal. Suppose something hot falls into something cold, or something cold falls into something hot. How do we determine the situation of the temperature? So Rav Amar he lo agova, Mishmuel Amar, the correct way of pronouncing this is Tito agova, but everybody pronounces it as Tato agova. I mean, all the yeshiva people pronounce it as Tato agova. So Rav says that you go according to the thing that falls. So in other words, if you have hot milk that's falling onto cold meat, right, and then it's going to be mavashol, the milk is going to become usur. You have kosher meat that is hot, and it's falling into something that is cold. So then the hot thing is considered to be the one that is going to be mavasho, and according to Shmuel, the bottom thing is the one which, if it's hot, is going to be mavasho. If the bottom thing is cold, something that's hot, it falls into it, will simply get cooled. I have no idea how to explain this in terms of thermodynamics, because it doesn't seem to make any sense at all. But anyway, this is a major issue. How do we look at Bishul? There's a long Aruch HaShulchan that tries to explain the physics of the Machlok, so it's what each side is looking at in terms of what defines Bishul to them.
What is the real
Matzias? Matzias depends on so many different factors. It depends on the surface area. It depends on the color. It depends on the amount of heat. It depends on the temperature of the heat. It depends on the air temperature. It depends on so many different things.
It
depends on the speed at which it's mixing. The Pasha that you saw it in thermodynamics is, of course, that whatever is lost by one thing is picked up by the other thing. It's not, right? In other words, taking away all the other factors. There's no heat loss to radiation. And there's only two things that are mixing. And they're only mixing in terms of convection. So then the heat has to go somewhere. It's going into the other thing. So to the extent that this thing is not being cooked, then. But they're looking over here also at surface differences. In other words, thermodynamics is a law of averages. It's not a law of nature. It's simply a question of averages. So the shaila is, how do we look at the process of the averaging? Right. In other words, we have a surface of very hot material. The surface now is coming in touch with something that's cold. So yes, it's true. Eventually, the two of them will even out. They'll have the same temperature, obviously. Right. Again, taking away all the other issues that need to be taken into consideration. But then the question is, in the course of that happening, what happens in terms of the way we define Bishul while it's averaging it out? Because obviously one of the things is hotter for longer than the other one. Okay. Anyway, I don't know how to explain the Machlokes in terms of thermodynamics, but that's the shaila. According to Shmuel, The one on the bottom is what defines the temperature. So if it falls into something cold, the temperature of the mixture is looked at as being cold. If it falls into something hot, the temperature is considered to be hot. According to Rav, vice versa. If something hot falls in, then the temperature of the mixture is hot. Not the temperature, the bishul of the mixture is nevasha, the right way to say it. Okay? If something that's cold is what fell in, then the mixture is considered to be non-nevasha. It's cold. In terms of dinner and bishop.
Is this how we can become bishop? Or
yes, the bishop. How we define bishop, hot and cold in terms of bishop. So, what is the mixture? That's the fact. Is the mixture defined by what falls in, or is the mixture defined in terms of what it fell into? The latter being tatagavar, or titagavar, correctly pronounced, and the former being tilagavar. Now, looking at our Mishnah, we seem to be able to bring a right. If it's not a notaf mirotval acheres, the chazar alav, you tell it mikomo. Now, how would this work? Assuming for a moment that the tanur is now cold, which is the Gemara's assumption. Now, obviously, we can change that assumption. But assuming that the tanur is cold, so now if some of the rotav drops onto the acheres, now this is really a right. If some of the rotav drops onto the cheres, and you hold ilo agova. So what happens? The cheres is now heated by the rotav, right? Now, in the averaging out of the temperature, which takes place, the rotav is now going to reabsorb heat from the cheres.
The cheres is hot or cold?
Cold. But the cheres, according to Rav, will be heated by the rotav, because the rotav is what fell onto the cheres. Right? So the mixture is viewed as hot. Now, the heat from the tanur, although it's the same energy that had originally been in the rotav, it's now in the tanur. So it's looked at as being a hot tanur. When that, and any of that energy is reabsorbed by the rotav is now going to be looked at as cooked by the tanur. In which case it will become usr. And that's exactly what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that the rotav becomes usr, and if it spatters back onto the carbon pasa, it will usr, you'll have to cut off the place. Do you see that Rav is right, assuming that the cheres is cold?
This is an bishul in the normal sense.
This
was already, I mean, was cooked,
right,
and it was not.
This bishul was defined
when it fell on.
Well, that's a different channel. That's questions of bishul apertsuli. That's what you're really talking about. You're introducing a new question. Remember that in the halacha, the status of temperature alone is not sufficient to define whether something is in the rosh. Let's say we got a shavus. You have something that was baked. It's not the same thing as having something that was boiled. So even though if you had a solid, let's say you had a matzah ball, a dry matzah ball, you'd be allowed to put it into your bowl of soup to heat up on Shabbos. But if you have a piece of bread, you're not allowed to put it into your bowl of soup, even though the bread is cooked as much as the matzah ball. But the bread is baked, and the soup is boiling. And those are different processes and have different effects. So to simply say that something is prepared is not sufficient in terms of halacha. So here too, we have a rota.
Could you cook matzah in the soup, let's say?
No. I mean, it depends on it. It depends on what, you know, what you're talking about. I don't know how many kalim away the soup is from the fire. No. That for sure you don't have. So, because what you have over there is you have a kli rishon that's not ala eish, and then you have something that you took it out with, and then you put it into a kli sheni, maybe even into a third kli that it's vada not mevasho. And there's shitas you could be so mechan that even if the soup is going in and out, it still would have a bit of liquid shaming. I don't know, chattas you wouldn't. But anyway, it shouldn't be done. Now, so anyway, getting back to this, so it seems to work out very well according to Rav, says the Gemara. So, now, kasaka dekta pukeres tzamenes. We thought we were talking about a tzamen that was cool. So, bishlim of the Rav, damrei vagava. It works out well according to Rav. Rav holds that we go according to what fell on to the tanur, and that was hot. So mishumahachi, you tell it mekomo. Therefore, we'd have to cut off a piece of the carbon pesach, because Bazal wrote of mirateach v'lecheres. The heat of the sauce now heats the tanur. And then that heat now is reabsorbed by contact with the cheres. And now if the rotav spatters onto the korban pesach, the pesach is now going to be heated by the heat of the cheres. And therefore we have to cut off that piece. However, according to Shmuel, it says we go according to what it fell onto. Since over here the cheres was sone, so if the tanur was cool, the kur maker of the rotav, that means that now the rotav is also defined as cool, because the mixture is now cool. Tamayi tells Makoma. So what did you do wrong? He says, nothing wrong. A little bit of rotav dropped onto a plate and dropped back on. What's the problem? Answers the Gemara, that would all be fine if your assumption is correct. But who said your assumption is correct? Maybe Kiryom Rav Yirmiyahu Amar Shmuel, just like later on about the solat issue, Shmuel was reported as having said that we're talking about solat rotacha, talking about hot solat, so we could certainly be talking about a hot oven. So finally, becheres rotea. So we're talking about that it dripped onto a hot oven, the hot oven heats it, which has nothing to do with the machlokas, the klal of Rav and Shmuel. And everything works out fine according to everybody. Okay, let's take a look at the next case in the Mishnah. It's not. Natav mirotfo al hasolat yikmotzet mikomo. Now here it says that if anything drips onto solat, you'd have to take out a handful of solat and burn it. Now kathakabek solat sonene. We thought that we were talking about some cool solat, which is a reasonable assumption. So Bishlam Rav Demri Lo Gavar, according to Rav, it works out well. What's wrong with this rotav? Why can't you eat it? Well, because according to Rav, if the rotav was hot, so Bishlamalchi Yikmutz Mekomo Demratech Lelo Solat, the heat of the rotav heats the solat. The Hodav Udrona, and now Hodav Udrona is a lotion of, we have a cyclic effect. So we have a cyclic effect in which Hodav Solat Demratech Lelo Didei. Now the solat will transfer some of its heat back into the rotav that fell on it as the temperature evens out. In which case, kamatri rotav machmatz chamim lusid a solat. So now this rotav is going to be heated by heat that was in the solat. Because we don't care what the original source of this heat is, obviously. And that was the whole point of tliyeh tliyeh. The moment we derive heat, we couldn't care less whether we derive heat from the korban pesach. We derive heat from an electric heater. What's the difference? Heat is just heat. The question is, where is this heat? The Torah said heat in a solat or heat in a keres is not the right kind of heat to use to cook the pesach. Okay, so here it's being used to cook the pesach. So the mela, the rotav becomes also. Assuming that the solat is cool, how would it work according to Shmuel? We would have to say that the solat, given its amenity, being as the solat is cool, ikura koma kerle, it's going to cool off the rotav that falls on it. For what possible reason should I have to get rid of it? Let me eat it. So what's wrong with mixing solid with my korban pesach? Everything's fine. It's talking over here, according to Shmuel, it's talking about boiling hot solid. Just like we said by the chairs. Let's take the next case. Now, Sacho b'shemen shel truma, im chaburat kohanim yochlu, shel Yisrael im chayu yavichenu im tzuvu yiklov et achitzon. Now, bishum l'rav, yomar ilo agavar, ham talach yisagi lei beklipa, bishum dilo atzonen. Let's assume over here that we have a hot korban, and we're putting oil over it. Right? So according to Rav, who says that we look in terms of the temperature, we look at the thing that's falling on. Over here, the thing that's falling on is the oil. The oil is cold. So, mimela, since it's cold, all we have to worry about is the actual area that the oil was absorbed. That's all we have to deal with. But if you hold, according to Shmuel, that we have over here a case of hot oil, because the oil, although it's cold, is looked at, it's defined by what it fell onto, and the pesach is hot. So now we have the equivalent of hot oil. So then it's going to be absorbed. Hot things are absorbed. In which case, am I saying the kliva? Why don't we ask for the korban? Since it was hot oil. Answers Gemara, ein hokinam. We would have asked for the korban, except you have to recognize that sicha mashu beyond the avid. If we were dipping the carbon in oil, you'd be right. What are we doing here? We're putting on an almost invisible layer of oil across something. There's not enough to answer. So the mela, the most that you can say is okay, it was absorbed in the upper layer, cut off the upper layer. In Mamanushap, if you hold that it really penetrated through and through and nothing was left on the upper layer, offering is kosher. That's a mashal. So I can answer it. Tani gavasi v'shmul. Here we have a brisa that seems to say exactly what Shmuel says. Cham latoch cham asur, v'chein tzonin latoch shenatan latoch cham asur. Here it says the perish. You take something cold, put it into something hot, that's considered to be a hot mixture, and it's asur. Cham latoch tzonin, v'tzonin latoch tzonin, midyan. But if something hot falls into something which is cold, or something cold falls into something that's cold, all you have to do is wash it off. Now that's Shmuel. Look at what it fell into. Wait a second here. Cham latoch tzonin midyan. That's going a little too far, even according to Shmuel. If something hot, let's say you have a hot piece of meat, and it falls into some cold milk, so what is he going to wash it off? Even the cham who had to make a yeshlo bola purta. Look, I mean, certainly we can't deny the physics of the situation completely. You have over here, it's going to take time for it to cool, right? Now during the cooling process, I mean, fine, you hold the mixture is cold, that's because in terms of the final result, we look at it as a cold mixture. Certainly Shmuel can't deny that at the instant of contact, we have a sizzling surface of meat that's in touch with milk. Now it rapidly cools, true. That's what Shmuel is holding. And in terms of visual, it's looked at as cooling. Fine, but that takes some time. I mean, there's one layer of molecule thick at least that's mixed with meat, milk, isn't it? What do we do about that layer? You should at least have to peel off that layer, a very thin layer, peel off that layer. Yeah, you're right. Ela eimat kam latoch tzunin kolev. And if something hot falls into something cold, then you would have to be kolev, thinnest layer that you could possibly hold together. Peel it off. And tzunin latoch tzunin midyan. If it was completely cold, you could wash it off. Tanya hidav. Okay, that's brice number one that holds like Shmuel. Here's brice number two that holds like Shmuel. Basar roteach shenafalat al chalav roteach. Boiling hot meat that falls into boiling hot milk, v'chein tzunin shenafalat al cham. And the same would be true if a cold piece of meat falls into hot milk. It's all osur. But if cham latoch tzunin latoch tzunin midyan. If a hot piece of meat falls into cold milk, or if cold falls into cold, all you would have to do is wash off the milk from the meat. What? Cham latoch tzunin midyan. We have the same problem we had before in here. Kiven decham hu, look, if it is a hot piece of meat, so to make it, yefshelo bo lapurta, while it was cooling, it must have absorbed a tiny bit. At least klipa mi mi boy, we should at least have to slice off a thin layer. You're right. Elaim, I changed that to read, cham latoch tzunin kolev, tzunin latoch tzunin midyan. Now the Tosfos asks over here, what is the point of this second brice? I mean, we don't have to add up brices when they're saying word for word the same thing as the other one. Therefore, he wants to say over here a tremendous chiddush, that this is Rabbi Natan Pshita, but the reason that it says this brice is because the first brice didn't say the pharish we were talking about a liquid which would itself be also like challah, and basar b'challah. So where we're dealing with the issue of cham latoch tzonin. In other words, let's think about this, Bryce. We're being very cavalier in our attitude of klipa, mule, boy, okay, say klipa. Right? Why did the Bryce do this? Teresis said the Rabbi in the time. Because, what are you going to do about the milk? Can you be collate the milk? Can't be collate the milk. So then what are you going to do? Says the Bryce, mut. Referring to the milk part is mut. You shouldn't think that you have to analyze the amount of total milk in terms of the klipa of the milk, the putative klipa, which now, of course, makes completely being a liquid. But the whole thing is mud. Because wherever you cannot do klipa, you needn't worry about it. Right? So that's good for what the chiddush of the brice is, the second brice. Okay. And now we understand that that's what the first brice must have meant. And so this is a machlokas. So we go bus or shishim and say, well, we need shishim, connected to klipa, that's what was in contact with the meat, or do we, in other words, let's imagine the milk as being a solid. What percentage of the milk now would we have had to slice off? Or do we say, klipa is a halakha in klipa, it's not a halakha in yisr. in the mail. If you can be kolev, then you're Makai on the Ketuvah, so to speak, of being kolev. You can't be kolev, there's nothing to do, leave it alone. Okay, this is Machlokas the Ribbon, the Rabbeinu Tam, this is the Mokar of the Machlokas. Right. Omer of Huna, when we Omer Mark, Tzoni Latok, Tzoni Mediav, you said that you simply wash off when you have something cold. Now, says Rav Huna, you have to qualify this with one thing. That is, Hoshana Shalom Ocho. It's only if you're talking about something unsalted. Avomoko Asur. Suppose you have salted meat that fell into an oak. Then it's the same thing as if it's boiling hot. Yomar Shmuel, Maliach Areo Kiroteo. But Shmuel said that something which is salty is as if it is hot. And kovush, areo kimavusha, and something which is something which is pickled is as if it is cooked. Omar Rava, Hadi Omar Shmuel Maliach Areo Kiroteach, says Rava, you should know that that mustn't be taken too literally. When we say that something that is salty is as if it's hot, that doesn't mean anything that you've salted now to make it tastier. It's lo amr el shalom ne'achal machmas nilchol. It's talking about something which has been salted to be preserved, so that it is so salty that you normally would not eat it without getting rid of some of the salt. So it's no longer palatable. It's edible. Well, ne'achal doesn't mean it's inedible. It's edible, but not palatable. So memela, there's so much salt that it has a din of roteach. However, if it's necham, machmas milcho, lo. And people have been taking Shmuel a little bit too literally, thinking that anything that has salt in it is meluach. There was actually a maisa, ubar guzla denafa lekada dekapcha. There was a bird that fell into a container of kutaf, of cheese spread. So Shai, Rabchinen, Abreda, Rabbi, Pashurunia. Rabchinen, Abreda, Rabbi, Pashurunia said it's kosher. No problem. Amarova, man kochem la mishra milfiki hai lab rabchinen, Abreda, Rabbi, Pashurunia. The Gavra Rabba. Only a man who really knows what he's doing would have come out with the psak that it's kosher. Because normal people, they read, well, it's maluach. Oh boy, it's really maluach. Kutak, everybody knows that's very maluach. Shmuel said if it's maluach, it's like, they are. It's possible to follow. Can't eat it. Ah, but he knew that high nechal, he knew how to omer lachakirma shmur maliach reo kroteach, that's only sheino nechal machmas milcho. Whereas high nechal machmas milcho, the kutak is edible. It's even palatable. That's the way it's meant to be. So certainly you can't call that sheino nechal machmas milcho. Now, one additional caveat, hani mili chai. This entire halach is talking about things which are raw. Avotzli, if it had already been broiled. So in broiling, it becomes much more absorptive, and therefore boy klipa, even if it's tzai, it still absorbs along the surface. Now, an additional caveat is that if it has any kind of slices in it, in which, in other words, it's already opened up now, and it's got places in which the milk will settle on inside, into the basar, then it becomes us. The imetuho batavli us, also if it has been softened by being pickled, so then it's also us, and will absorb. Omar Rab, Bosar Shuta Shamin. If you have meat that is nice fat meat, which is kosher, and you broil it in the same oven with bsar nevela kachush, the lean meat, that is true. Awesome. You've got a problem. Why is this? Let's start from the first time off. If you have meat, the nevela meat, which is oil, it's fat meat. So then we understand that the fats are going to be vaporized in the course of being broiled. And they're going to be deposited all over the place, right? All after the tzli, everything has to be washed up. You have a deposit of oily substance over everything. Now that deposit is called recha. Because in essence, that's what it is. It's really smell. It's very intense smell. What is smell? Smell is just molecular evaporation. So this is molecular evaporation. A lot of it, that's all. So the shaila is like this. Is that refa? Is that milsa? Is that considered to be as if you actually have the fat? Or once something is vaporized in that fashion, it's not considered to be otzer anymore. So Rav holds that refa is milsa. Therefore, if I have fat nevela meat, and it's vaporizing inside the tanner and depositing its surface in nevela onto my kosher meat, I can't eat it. But Rav goes even a step further. He says, even if you have nevela meat, which is completely lean, let's assume that there's very little vaporized fat, and it's being broiled together with kosher meat, which is fat, it's also kosher. You know why? Because the fat from the kosher meat will be deposited on the trefa meat, absorbed from the trefa meat, be re-vaporized and be absorbed by the kosher meat. Very much the same situation we had with the question of the heat with the log of our according to Rav. The Mela says, Rav, that even if it was the kosher meat that was fat, and the trefa meat that was lean, it's also us. My time. Nefat meimei hadar, because they will absorb the fats from one another through the air, and the male will be us. Levi, Omar Levi says the exact opposite. Afilu bos psar shchuta kochush, even if the kosher meat was lean, and it was broiled together with bosu nevela shamein, was broiled together with fat bosu nevela, it's also mukh. My time a recha v'yomu, because that vapor is looked at as pure recha. Recha lavnos, and vapor is not considered to be meaningful in terms of halacha. Ovi Levi uvda b'reish galusa b'gediva davarach, and Levi took this so far that he actually allowed the reish galusa's house to eat a gediva that had been broiled together with a pig in the same oven, and they fed it. In response,
well.
Mason.
What are they doing with the pig in the
oven? One of the servants.
Second
That's the thing. Yeah. Mason. I mean, you shouldn't pass him from this because it's a little bit complicated. It depends on the size of the oven. It depends if it has a vent. It depends on how close they were. There's all kinds of, it depends on how healer, but he had a, and so on. The mice which have been out fasting is regard to meal, so there's no problem. And we have a lot of meals in. Except regard to the Zora. But there are most of the Chatzila, we're not on regular meals, at least at the same time, we shouldn't do it for Chatzila. Then there's various degrees in the middle of the Yevon.
The difference between Bosom Solo and Trade?
No, only differences between Yain Nesset. So, no, but this again, this is only if it's at the same time. In other words, where this myth comes from about milk covens and flesh covens, I have no idea. But that certainly we don't ask you. But, as far as I can understand, if you cook something milk in an oven, it doesn't make an oven milk because we pass the regular of milk.
This is
certainly a major part of this. So, as a matter of fact, even the Ramah, who is machmer lechatchila, is not machmer if you're cooking things in an oven. He's only machmer if you're broiling. In other words, if you're cooking in a pot, and you have a pot of milk, it's a pot of flesh, it's in the oven at the same time, you look at feel it.
But they're covered.
Even if they're not covered. If they're covered, it's put in between. If there's some kind of, I have no idea what, the only way I've been able to trace, where this comes from, is that in the original tshuva, of Ramosha about ovens, he was fed false information about the structure of ovens. So he built the tshuva around the assumption that ovens do not have vents. In which case, there's a halacha on a small oven. Our ovens are quite small, and many of the ovens are very small. The old ovens are very small. If they're unvented, then there's already shilas. There's some remark around that. There's no place for it to go, so it's all deposited in Ramosha's. And so on. Since I've never heard of an oven that is invented, what am I saying? I think they work properly if they're not invented. So I don't know, I don't even know like where that comes from. So Mason ain't so lynch named Psochim Kech Mibnehata Robe. Here it says you're not allowed to broil two psochim in one oven because of the problem of the mixture. Now, lechora, what that means is you have two chaburas. Remember that each chabura has to eat their own korban pesach. So if it has the taste of another korban pesach, it's awesome. So lechora, that's what it's saying. Don't broil your korban pesach with another korban pesach, because then you're going to be eating the taste of another group's korban pesach. That's awesome, because pesach can only be eaten by minuyah. So you see from here, my lap tavu v'stein. So you see from here that the reifa, the vaporized fats, is considered to be also the kasha lady. Says lady, whoa, we're afraid that they're going to mix up whether their pesach was on the right or their pesach was on the left. We'll end up each one eating the actual body of the other one's carbon pesach. That's the problem here. And also counting the style. And it makes sense, because look at the continuation over here. Even if one is a gedi and one is a tlet. Now, if we're talking about timing, can you tell me what the heck the difference is when it's a gedi or a tlet? See, I'm just trying to make goofy. If the problem is I'm afraid I'm going to get confused in the actual body, fine. And then you can tell me. I need to tell you, I feel a gedi or a tlet, that you can, don't rely on people not getting mixed up in the body of the deer tlet. In the rush, they could still get confused. You know, the yamet mitnei tarovet ta'amim, if we're talking about taste, why bother mentioning what it's made out of? Oh, that's a good point. So wait a second. Elamai, al-korf, mitnei tarovet gufim udiyas. Avatarubas ta'amim shorin. Well, wait a second. In that case, the only problem is, obviously, tarovet gufim. So I'm going to talk to you to the Ra. Maybe now we can bring it as a proof against Ra. You cooked the Pesach in two pots. And this, of course, is the marker for what I just told you about pots. Affecting a mark, a steak, and there, in the equivalent of a pot. In other words, you had something hanging down in the middle of the tanur. You put, let's say, a pile of wood that you lit in the middle of the tanur, which separated between the two. So there, you only have a problem of time in, even according to Ron, it's a separation. You only have a problem of the mixing of the money. So how do we call them? Ain so much, they so much, they make our rubis. My tarubis, tarubis time. And if you look at ain stakaderos, the lack of tarubis time, it would still be awesome. Shouldn't tarubis goofy? And that's where it says, I feel it be before. That's how Rav would be learning. But meanwhile, the Gemara has sneakily told us, and even if you'll drag on, you'll see, if it's in two pots, even though, of course, it's not mamish sealed off one from the other over here. It's time you have a pile of ashes in the middle. Doesn't mean there's no air that passes from one to the other, but you don't have free passage, that it's mutter. And that's the mutter of the halakha, that if you're cooking two things in the oven, one flake, it's one milk, it's one tray, one kosher, it's no problem. Umra of Mori, Ketanoa. I think that this machlokas, Rav and Levi, about Reif and Milsa, is actually an old machlokas tanayim. Here it says like this, Haroda pas kama v'natana rabbe chavit yayin shel truma. Let's say that you took a hot bread out of the oven and you set it down on top of a barrel of wine, a sealed barrel of wine. But remember that the barrel of wine is porous, right? They used to keres, and it's made out of truma. So when the mayor says, whoops, that's us, because it absorbs the wine, the smell of the wine. So you see, immediately, you must say that Reich has Milsa, right? Rebbe Yehuda says it's mut. Rebbe Yossi, Mat, Bishal Fitin, Losa, Bishal Sarn, Nisha Sarn, Shoaba. Rebbe Yossi says, well, it depends on the situation. It depends on what the bread is made out of. If it's made out of barley, then barley absorbs, and it'll absorb the smell. But meanwhile, apparently both Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Meir hold that Vade Reich has Milsa, otherwise what did it absorb? It just absorbed. I mean, that's all it absorbed.
They're
both dry.
After two things are dry,
he
doesn't
release it. Well, but wine isn't dry. If you hold a reza, then...
But there's cheres on the outside.
Isn't it half of the cheres? But it absorbs the cheres. Yeah, we'll see. That's what it'll come out. But it's talking about that it's sealed. So, my love, Tanoi, says Rav Mori, the Chora, that means that we have a machlokas. Marzava reifa blad milsa, marzava reifa milsa. Isn't that what we have to say? Now, the Levi bada tanoi. Levi cannot deny that there's obviously a sheet over here who holds reifa milsa. I mean, it's absurd for Levi to try to even get out of it. Because if somebody says that the smell of wine is usher, that's the end of Levi's sheet, right? Okay, so Levi's going to have to say, I hold a rib of and I'm following the view of the sheet. But does Rav have to agree that Reb Yehuda, who holds that it's mutter, is it necessarily because Reb Yehuda holds that reich is lav milsa? Or is it because Reb Yehuda holds that since the oven, since the barrel is sealed, there's no reich? But had there been reich, even Reb Yehuda would have said it's awesome. So in other words, Rav might say, I don't think it's about Lux Kamei. I think everybody agrees with me in this case of the busser that I was talking about. For sure everybody would agree. It's only over here because the barrel was sealed. So the Rav, name it Tanoihi, must we say according to Rav, it's Tanoihi, or the Rav, no. Kuli Amarechem, you'll see everybody agrees with me. Did we not learn about this price, about this machlokas here? That everyone would have agreed if the bread is hot and the barrel was open, and you put it on the barrel, even Reb Yehuda would have agreed it's usher. Why? Because Recha Miltani. If the bread is cool and the oven is and the barrel is shut, then everybody would hold the smutzer because there is no reicha to be absorbed in. No nefkel v'patkama v'chavit chatuma patzamenet v'chavit ptucha. My focus was where we have either a sealed barrel and hot bread or cool bread and an open barrel. So there the question is how much reicha is there being absorbed? But not about the principle of reicha milsa. Of course, reicha is milsa. So says Rav. Everybody agrees with me. Bahainami, the case I was telling you about, which was the boss of the veil of Sar Shlutin, that's kipat kamam v'chavit p'tuchah. That's the problem. There, everyone will agree with me. Tani arkan adre uvchinin asava hacha v'ayim tzmita tanur asava achlav p'tuchah. Following Rav's shita, if you would broil, if you would bake in an oven bread at the same time that in that oven you are broiling meat, it would be also to eat with milk. Now you may be wondering, what about the sugya that we had before? If you make milchik of bread, you're not allowed to eat it with anything. Because if it's there, you might eat it with meat. Why isn't this the same thing? Why don't we just say it's us, right? You're not allowed to use milk for bread for anything. So why are you allowed to use flesh for bread for anything? You should have to destroy it in case it will come to you with cheese. So Tosfos asked this question before, and that's it. He asks from our Gemara over here, and he says here it just says it's also to eat with the other type. And he explains that there it was talking about bread that you had actually put milk into. Here it's only also reicha milsa, not that machmir and reicha milsa. In other words, okay, don't eat it with milk, but we're not going to make exera, but maybe you'll come to you with milk. The whole thing is a chum. What is cheskas chalavim? I don't know what that means. I think that's what it means. I told you that that's what I think it means. Cheskas chalavim must mean this. That's what I assume it means.
But here we're not talking about this ray. We're talking about the meat splatter.
No. If it splatters anything, I mean, it would be a man. We're not talking about rain. In other words, we know that it didn't splatter. There was a piece of fish that was broiled together with meat. So Rava said you can't eat that fish with milk. So you can't eat that fish at all. Because, first of all, it causes body odor. But besides that, it's dangerous. It can get you tzaras. Which is why we're mocking not to. Not to eat, it's the sakona of mixing meat and meat. Fish and meat, that's the mocker. Alright, I think we'll hold off the Mishnah till tomorrow.
But it sounds like
when
you come
outside, this is going in Rob's sheet. Mr. Mara is going to bring Rob.
So let's just do that.
Don't cook at the same time. Don't broil it.
I guess the shiny ones we have in the deli as a steamer. A steamer. And then on one side, that's, I thought, there's a dividers. Mm-hmm. The other side has
fish.
No, it has rolls.
He didn't
know. And actually, on the bottom, the water is shed on the bottom.
There's a big problem.
So that even, so I asked him, what about slit? Consider the rolls well sunned. And he said, by me.
He said, what?
He said, for sure.
Steam, it's not wrinkled. It's called mush. Steam is called mush. That's a very big problem at the restaurants where they use the steam to keep the serving trays hot. Cafeterias, the trays, they have circulating hot water. Set up steamers. So there's all kinds of problems. I mean, hotels that they're trying to house and so on because of that. You can't have mixed, because often you have the same device that creates the steam for the whole thing. The water, after the steam condenses, it circulates back around the pump out into the heating device, and then it's shot out again. But it's going from milk to sex and into the flesh to sex. You know, so you walk in, everything's fine. You're a different kitchen, this thing's coming out of here. So they're all mixing up.
You said muscle with tongue. That's what it seems to make sense where a grey afterword can be in the same afterword. You know, you feel. Does it sound.
Yeah. But we have to look at it and where it comes from.
Yeah.
There's five karbonas which are brought in the tzibur's tummy, and it's dove at truma in the base of Mikdash. But you cannot eat the basar of the karbon. Now, there's many karbonas that are brought to truma that don't have anything to eat, which we're not listing here. Obviously, every karbon ayla that the tzibur brings, of which there are many, it doesn't have any basar to eat, so we don't bother mentioning it. But there are five karbonas at tzibur that are brought and are meant to be eaten. The basar is supposed to be eaten by the kohanim. And even though when the tzibur is tamei, we go and bring these karbonas, so you might think that therefore the kohanim could eat the basar also, even though the karbon was brought to him. Kamash kolon, if these five things are brought, but the basar is burned. You don't, it's possible. What are they? The omer, shtei halechem, the lechem haponim, zivchei shamei tzibur. Zivchei shamei tzibur are the only shlamim that a tzibur brings, which are the korbanos that are brought together with the shtei halechem hachshuvos, the kibsei atzeres they're called, and the seirei rosh hachodashim, the korban chatos, which is brought with on rosh chodesh. So these are the five korbanos that are meant to be eaten, that are not eaten when they're brought b'truma. Now, ha-Pesach sheba b'truma, ne'akal b'truma. The Pesach, however, even though it's brought b'truma, it's still eaten. Shelova mitchilato el lachtava, because the whole heter to bring it b'truma was in order to eat it. Is that, that's the point in bringing it b'truma Pesach, is for the Bailam to eat. When you say chamisha, l'mu'utei mai, what was the point of counting it? Well, you could have just said, right, all korbanos ha-tzibur that are avoiding b'truma are not eating b'truma, period. If when you list five, then you mean to let us know that something that we might have thought should be included is not included. What is that? The Mu'ute Chagigat Hamishasa comes to tell me that the Chagiga that's brought on the 15th, now, there's nothing specific about the Chagiga that's brought on the 15th over Chagigas that are brought on other Yom Tov. I mean, it could have been talking about the Chagiga that's brought on Sukkot also, the Chagiga. Chagiga that's brought on Shavuos. That isn't the point. It's taking Chagigat Chamishasar as an example to all Chagigas. And often the Gemara uses the Chagigat Chamishasar, Lafuke, the Chagigat Arbanasar that's taught with the Korban Pesach. So it just clarifies which one we're talking about. In any event, the Korban Chagiga is not included in this. I would have thought that the Chagiga, because it has a Zman, it's Kavua, it's supposed to be brought during Yom Tov, and it's a Korban Sibur in the sense that it's brought Vikinufia. Kinufia means everyone together brings it, like a Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach also has certain things of Korban Sibur. So you might think that it could be Doche, Tuma, Kamashulam, Kiva Nisla, Tashlumi Kol Shiva. Therefore, comes the mission to inform us that because the Chagigas Chamishas, or any Korban Chagiga, and any other Yom Tov, if you miss it on one day, you can bring it on any of the other days. Even on Shavuos, which is only one day, you can still bring the Korban Chagiga for Shavuos for 7 days. Tashlumim of Shavuos. So the Mela, it will not be Doche Tuma, because it doesn't have to be Doche. And it's not over Shabbos, rather, because it doesn't have to be Doche. Mm-hmm. Since already the B'moado that refers to this Korban does not refer to the Chia of Shabbos, because it has Tashlum and Meva, it's not Doche Tuma either. Because as we'll see, the mocker of the Chia for Shabbos and Tuma is from the same B'moado. Frekta Gemara Benitne Nami Siire Haregalim. Why does the Mishnah not mention the fact that the korbanot chatas that are brought on every Yom Tov, which is a korban soyer, is supposed to be eaten, the basar is supposed to be eaten by the kohen? Why doesn't it mention that korban too? Why does it only say the sire rosh chodesh? Well, hatanya le zivchei shal mei tzibur, because it says zivchei shal mei tzibur, and zivchei shal mei tzibur is an example of something which is meat and which can't be eaten. And that includes any korban which is meat which can't be eaten. The other examples are not meat. Right? So it's coming to tell us different types of things. Well, wait a second. So then the Ochi Sire Rosh HaKadosh, now you know this. If that's the case, why do you mention Sire Rosh HaKadosh? You just want to give me one example of something that's meat that's not eaten. So mention only Zivchei Shal Mei Tzibur. No. That I have to. There I need to let people know that Soyer of Rosh Chodesh is Doche Shabbos, Doche Tuma B'Flah. I might have thought that you'll notice that it never says the Lashon of Moed when it talks about Rosh Chodesh. Because in the whole Emor, where it mentions the B'Moed, Eilu Moed Hashem, never mentions Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, maybe Rosh Chodesh would not be Doche. Kamash Malan, the Rosh Chodesh Ikri Moed. Therefore, the Mishnah is coming to tell us that the Soyer of Rosh Chodesh is also Doche Tuma and Shabbos. Why? Because it's called a Moed. Where is it called a Moed? Kiri Abaye. The Omer Abaye, Tammuz, the High Shata, Nuyua, Menuha, Tichtiv, Koro, Alai Moed.